All of my figures are based on a nationally accepted average of 60 gallons of water usage per day, per person. And I try to be maybe even a little too reasonable with my estimates of occupancy per year on the existing Branson Cove and the proposed that we're here for today. So let's take a look. If each building averages 5 people per day, that would equal 300 gallons of water usage per building. So if we take that times 60 buildings, which, by the way, there's more buildings than that, and there's 5 more proposed, that would be 18,000 gallons of water per day, or 90,000 gallons of water on a 5-day week. Again, trying to be reasonable, maybe they'd have 7. Okay, on a 25 years, that would be 2.25 million gallons of water per year for the 60 buildings. Okay, for discussion, again, trying to give both sides and to be reasonable, let's say that 5 people average per day is too low at Branson Cove, and because of expansion or increased business, it goes up to 10 per day. By the way, I think some of those have 10 bedrooms, isn't that right? 6 to 10 bedrooms and up to 6 bathrooms. Or the number of buildings increase, which we're proposing today, then it would jump to 36,000 gallons of water usage per day, making a total water usage for the year of 4.5 million gallons of water usage per day. Now, remember, I said we moved in 30 years ago, and my good friends out on Poverty Point were sucking water. And for 30 years in Siesta Cove, we've been sucking water. And now we got Branson Cove that I just presented to you there. They're sucking a lot more water. And then if you go around Jake's Branch area there, you've got Hillhaven Drive. Okay, that's got several mansions. They've been sucking water. And then finally, we get over to Emerald Point. Oh, my gosh, that's like a city over there, isn't it? Hundreds of condos and mansions there, and they're probably all in the same aquifer. Now, finally, we get down to Big Cedar. And as you all know, they've been expanding like crazy, and we have friends who have had to increase the depth of their wells so that they could have water in their private residences. Now, I think it's reasonable for me to forecast for our neighborhood that we will need to drill deeper so that we can have water in our homes. Now, most of us in Siesta Cove are retirees on a fixed income. And so here's what I'd like to propose for consideration. I'd like to propose that people in the Branson Cove development and any other additions in the future be willing to pay for any additional drilling for our residential wells that would be necessary, because guess what? We're sucking too much water. I'd be glad to discuss it further if anybody has any questions or comments.
I just have a quick question. Mark, do you guys have a well? Do you have a tower? What do you guys have there?
Well, with 2 towers.
How deep is your well?
I don't honestly know.
Reason I ask is because we deal with this in the Big Cedar area. Their wells are 2,000 and 3,000 feet deep. They're not even touching the same aquifer that all the private residences of the area are. I live in that area. I'm in the Ruby Dew, I believe, which is about 600 feet roughly where I'm at. Down next to the lake, you're probably at 505. And I've reached out to universities, University of Arkansas, University of Missouri, DNR, to try and make sure that, and I'm probably not saying all this 100% accurate, but because of those issues, I've reached out to those universities to find out how those water levels work. Anything that is deeper than that is a completely different aquifer, has no effect on the ones that we use as private citizens.
I see.
So, well, that's why I was asking how deep his well was.
Yes, sir.
If your well is at 2,000 or 3,000 feet, now if yours is at 600 feet, then yes, you're tying into the same one. So, anyways, just for a matter of, because I did do some research on it.
Yes, sir.
Prior years, just to learn because of other issues, not specifically this one.
And I appreciate that. We want to get all the information on the table
we possibly can.
So. And so I would say, in addition to that, then, if my proposal was suggested. And we never had to drill, then nothing would be lost. But if this is reasonable, and maybe there's a difference in aquifers in that area, and any of our residents did have to drill deeper because of the additional, quote, sucking of water, then it would be paid for and we wouldn't have to worry about it.
I can address may not address the facts of what Mr. Williams said because I've not done that. But I have had some experience with other taxpayers that have come to me where they had to, you know, drill their wells. But I can address that this commission has been told in the past we don't have the authority. We will vote on whether or not it's rezoned or not rezoned, and we can't put conditions on it. If we rezone it, it's rezoned for that. And I believe that would probably be a civil matter beyond that. But all I know is this commission has been told in the past that we can't put those conditions on. Sorry. Am I correct in that, Scott?
That's the way I understood.
Yeah, we had an issue once before. Mm-hmm. And just wanted to share that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm thankful to have the opportunity to speak to you and to live in a county where we have reasonable people that don't yell and scream at each other. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else want to come forward?
Hi. I'm Teresa Carlin. I live at 259 Ho-Hum Trail. So I am right next to the development on the lake.
I would be the closest to the addition.
Just to kind of segue, this development has been a nightmare for my family. We've lost our privacy. We've lost, being able to drive home safely every night without having to slow down and think someone's going to have to pull out in front of you. We have lost our peaceful lake home. When I state that we've lost our privacy, I have strangers walking through my yard daily wanting to come to the flat spot on the lake. There is no wall. There is no boundary that they put in there to keep their guests from coming across. I've had people come through our entire property, not just along here, but people walk here and walk right through the back of our home. Our daughter, 18-year-old daughter, called one day and was frantic, stating there were strange men walking through the back of our yard by her bathroom. She went out. She explained to them that it was private property. A few hours later, they're walking back through our yard. It's not like you can tell somebody this one time. The next week, you have a whole new group of people that think they can walk through their yard. One day, my son walked out, and there were people on our back deck playing with our lake stuff. So you have people coming over on our deck because they want to go to the deck, and then they want to go to this place. We are grandfathered in to mow to the lake by the Corps of Engineers. So this is where everybody wants to come fish and swim from this property. I have contacted Mark Sills and Mike Combs, and I have let them know that they need to build a wall. This was over a month ago. We had conversations. And they need to have some type of signs for their guests, which I mean strangers who walk through my yard every day. They need some type of location for those people, a sign, a path, something. They didn't do that. They built all of these properties, did not build a wall to protect the residents, did not care to protect the residents. And so daily, that's what we face. I walk outside to strange people in my yard. So, there you go. I oppose them adding because they have not taken care of what they built. These people are still going to want to come through my yard. They're still going to want to wander down because this area is not flat. It's not a fun place to, you know, walk down and fish or swim. Instead, they think my property, and they can walk through it and on into my neighbors as well. So, as far as the traffic goes, my husband almost had an accident there last Friday.
So to say that no one's using that county road is false. Yesterday, we were driving through there, and there literally were three cars from Engle backed up waiting to pull out there, not through their designated spot and road that was approved by MoDOT. They don't have anything labeled. They can't even label their parking spaces because they've offered a specific number of parking spaces to the people that bought these homes, and they don't have them because they built more and more homes and didn't even add parking. If you go by there, you notice they didn't even have parking spaces. So they sure don't have any designated areas, signs for their guests to follow. There's no rules. It is mass chaos, and it is a nightmare. Not just for my family, for all the families along here. And not just for my family, but the families on Poverty Point that risk having accidents every single day driving home from work. The noise? Okay. 2 and 3 a.m. during the week, you hear yelling, screaming, profanity-laced music blaring. If I go outside to let my dogs out at 9 or 10 at night, that's what I hear, screaming, yelling, profanity music. Not just on a weekend until midnight, not just during the week. These are party decks they put out there, party decks. 10 rooms? Who do you think rents those? It's not a sweet little family. It's a big group of people coming to party all hours of the night. And that's what these people in this community have been dealing with. Who do you call? Who do you call? Mark Still? He didn't own the house. Mike Holmes? No, he didn't own the house. Who do you call? The police? They called the police last week for 1 hour. It was quiet, and the people started partying again because they had no fear. Who even owns these places? This has created a nightmare for our county, and it is your job to protect the citizens. It is your job to look at these faces and to do something today and not allow more of these to be.
So. Sorry.
You're fine.
Do you have any questions?
But when you call the police on the noise, they respond and take care of it, but then after they leave,
just recently, I think we felt like we didn't know what to do. So just recently, we have come together as a neighborhood, and we're going to start trying to call the police because that's the only thing we can do. But also, again, is this going to be something that the sheriff wants to take care of every night of the week because of these party decks? They didn't just build the party decks on the front of those houses. They built them on the back 30 feet from residential property. So they're right by everyone's homes.
Before we went to zoning and they had to go for a conditional use permit, if there was any problem like that, it had to be posted a number to call, and they had to take care of it immediately. Is there not numbers posted?
There's nothing posted over there. There's nothing posted. They have failed to follow through with what they said 3 years ago. They have failed to take care of the residents. And that's what we're here for you to help us with today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who want to come forward?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Janet Bezaritis, and I live at 267 Ho Hum Trail. I'm lucky. I have a one-house buffer between my house and that ugly south side of Branson Cove. I only have to deal with the increased dangerous traffic, the noise, and a lot more strangers walking around. I live next door to Teresa. If you want me to point it out, I will. I've lived in this beautiful spot for 16 years, and yes, it's a mixed rural neighborhood. Some really nice homes, and some need a little TLC. But we haven't deserved being treated with disrespect by the developer who 3 years ago referred to our neighborhood as crummy little houses in this room before they got approval. In talking to my neighbors in the last month, it has become apparent nobody knew who to call. I started asking around. They said, call the sheriff. I thought maybe we needed a noise ordinance, but apparently disturbing the peace is already against